Welcome to Family Talk with host, psychologist, and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson.
And I'm Luann Crane. And Ryan and Doctor, as we begin this program today, I'm struck with that classic line from the Old Testament book of Job, which declares, "Can you fathom the mysteries of God?"
Luann, I know that everybody listening at one time or another has asked that question.
And they probably didn't get an answer for it because life is like that. And what the Lord says is, trust me. This is what He wants of us. He wants us to trust Him when we can't figure Him out, when the pieces don't fit. And there are many times when that happens. And I think it's universal in the Christian way of life, when you can't figure out exactly what God is doing, but you go on trusting. And we're going to hear today from a man who was faced with that dilemma. His name is Dr. Jim Conway. I've interviewed him many times. He's had a distinguished career as a pastor and an author, a speaker, and a professor. And he is now the president and founder of Midlife Dimensions. So he's had a lot of experience, and yet he struggled. And there were moments when the pieces didn't fit for him. And we're going to hear about that today as he talks about his daughter, Becky.
Oh, Doctor, this is an intensely personal message from Dr. Jim Conway today. As you mentioned, he's talking about his daughter, Becky, who had a devastating physical illness just when she was 15 years old, diagnosed with cancer. Every parent listening right now who's had a sick son or daughter knows there's just no greater pain than having to stand around watching helplessly while your son or daughter suffers from an illness like that. I really hope every listener can stay through this entire message, as there is profound hope and truth in what he has to say.
As our listeners hear this message from Dr. Conway, I would like them to be aware that he had another dark time in his life because his wife, Sally, died a few years later of breast cancer. So this man has been through the fire, and he knows of which he speaks.
Well, let's get to Dr. Jim Conway now on this Family Talk broadcast.
Becky was put into the hospital, and I told Becky the night that the doctor came by the house and told us the sad news that she was going to have her leg amputated. I told her that you're not going to have your leg off. I believe God. I believe what He has said about prayer. I'm absolutely convinced about it, and we're going to ask God for healing. I asked the doctor, Scott, when he, the morning of the surgery, I said, Scott, go in first and make sure that it hasn't been healed. Because I believe that God's going to come through, I'm sure. And 45 minutes went by in the waiting room, and in an hour, and finally 2 hours and 45 minutes, and I began to know then it was more than just going in to look and verify that God had healed her. And the doctor came out and told me that he had taken her leg off. I lost God, because it wasn't that, it wasn't that I came to God and said, God, you know, it would really be neat if you would say something to us like, if two of you will agree together as touching anything, I'll grant it to you, or ask anything. You know, all of the prayer promises, they weren't things that I dreamed up and asked God to do for us. It was that Christ was giving these prayer promises to us and saying, now believe it. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you know, you can tell that mountain, move from here to there. And in the other room, after the doctor told us that Becky's leg was taken off, there were about 40 or 50 Christians from the town, several different churches, and I just couldn't turn around and face them. I was shattered. I was smashed. And in anger, I found myself beating on the wall saying, where were you, God? Where are you? What is prayer? And I turned around and I went down to the bottom of the hospital where the morgue was and sat there. That's where I felt I belonged. I belonged with death. You know, if I had been a plumber, I could have gone back to work the next day or so and fixed pipes, and God could have continued to be irrelevant. But my job was standing before people, telling them that the Bible is true. It wasn't just that. If I had been a liberal pastor, I could have made it even, because I could have talked about, I'm not kidding you. You know, I could have continued with, I could have done book reviews, and I could have talked about all kinds of different junk, but I was pastoring a Bible church, and we preached the Bible, and my basic style in preaching is exposition of the Word, and here I was supposed to go back and tell people that God is a magnificent God who honors prayer, and it wasn't happening. And I sat there outside of the morgue, and it was a process of God working in me and God working through a number of other believers in the body to help me through this whole time. And what I'd like to do is just reflect a bit about some of the things that I learned and some of the things that you might think of if you're going through some stress, or if you work as you help other people who are going through stress. The first thing that I really think that we have to catch on to is that we have to earn the right to help somebody. It isn't that it's just there automatically. You have to earn that right, and part of the way that you earn that right, or one of the basic things, is that you really come to a deeply settled conviction that the body of Christ is to minister to each other. Or like 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about us being a body, very, very different, each part very different, and yet very interrelated, very much connected to each other. Or Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, love as Christ loved and sacrificed himself for us, a sacrificial dimension. I'll love you if it's convenient. No, sacrifice is the dimension of love. And if we're going to help people who are struggling with life, we have to learn that level. Or Galatians chapter 6, bearing one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. By bearing, carrying that load when somebody else cannot carry it. The second thing that I learned during this process is not only the need to be deeply committed to the body, and so grateful I was that there were members of the body who stood by me during this time. And there were men who found me down in the bowels of the hospital and stood with me. The first guy, his name is Dick Foth. Dick is an Assembly of God pastor. You know, there are some of my good evangelical fundamental brothers who will say, you know, down on the charismatic movement, but it was Dick who stood by my side and cried for me and prayed with me. And it does something to your theology, you know? And Dick said, Jim, there are a couple thousand people in your church and thousands outside in the town who are hanging on you. I want to help you get through this, because I believe God wants you to get through this. And Dick and Jim Weaver, who is the area campus life director in one of the valleys out here, and another guy who was one of the other guys on staff in our church. Those three guys sort of took turns. You know, one of them would go get coffee for a break, and then the other ones would work with me. And they just let me spill out, just dump out. And it was just support and care and love. And it's okay. And Dick, I'd dump out stuff. I remember saying to Dick, you know, I think God was so busy finding some little old lady a parking spot that he didn't have any time to save Becky's leg. And I was mad. And Dick would listen to that, and he'd say, is there any more? He just let me dump it out. And I didn't have to worry about, you know, that maybe if I said something that these guys would give up on God. I didn't have to worry about that. And I didn't have to worry about them giving up on me. You know, I didn't have to sort of hold anything in saying, you know, I've got to keep up the professional front because I'm a preacher. You know, I've got to be good. I could dump out anything. I could just tell it like it was and not have to worry about these guys. Third thing that I learned is that it's necessary to let grief spill out. You know, sometimes in Christian circles, we're behind the world in some ways. The world understands the importance of catharsis, the importance of letting things spill out, letting all that green junk get out. The world understands that in professional counseling circles. God understands that. God says, pour out all your troubles. You know, God's encouraging us to do that, but somehow we Christians, we're saying if you're living the victorious life, you keep all the green stuff inside. It's important to let it spill out. Sometimes I saw Christians around me saying, cheer up. Things are going to get better. Or the classic, what I really like is when somebody lays Romans 8:28 on me during that time. You know, all things work together for good. Tell me about it, Charlie. Tell me about it when you had your 16-year-old daughter's leg cut off. You tell me about it. You talk to me from that point of view, not just some pie in the sky when you've never experienced anything. And sometimes we get so used to the cheer up mode in Christianity that we become unreal. I also learned that you didn't need to have answers. These guys didn't have answers. That's why they were so helpful, that they didn't have answers. It was the people who had the answers who really produced more stumbling blocks for me. If you want to help somebody in trouble, just sit there with them. Put your arm around them. Say, I love you. I'm going to stay here. I remember one guy who I walked into a restaurant just a few days after Becky was still in the hospital. And as I walked by, he reached out and he grabbed my coat. He was sitting at a table and he said, Jim, you know, I think that God has allowed this to happen because it's brought about a revival in our church. And I turned to him and I said, do you know how long revivals last in churches? About 6 months. And then I said, what's God going to do then? To bring another revival, chop Becky's other leg off? And then her arm, and then her other arm? I said, there isn't enough of Becky to keep any church spiritually alive if that's what it takes. Do you see, when you start giving puny answers about a magnificent God and what he's doing, it's dehumanizing to my daughter to give me corny answers like that. And it's a put down on a magnificent God. When you're helping people, don't try and pump a bunch of answers on them because you feel uncomfortable with silence. Learn to be silent. Spend your time sitting with a person quietly saying, God, help. But probably the biggest thing that I learned in the whole process, thinking through this, I became deeply aware that there were only two choices that I had in my life. The one choice was I could be angry at God and I could follow the path of despair that I had, that I'd been going on. You know, where were you, God? I'm mad at you. But that was only despair. The other choice that I had was to let God be God. And to somehow saying, God, I don't know how this all fits together. I don't know the reasons. I'm not even going to ask for reasons, but I'm going to tell you that you are God and I am the servant instead of me being God and you be the servant. Amen. And it was in that sense of switch in my mind that I came to cope with this. I frankly admit to you, and this is 3.5 years, that I still struggle with some things. I still get sick to my stomach. When I see my daughter scooting along on the floor, but there's nothing other than either God or despair. That's where you make the choice. Either you're going to follow the path of despair or you're going to follow God. And even though all of the answers are not in, yet God is still there. And I am willing for the answers to come in eternity if that's where they need to be. And what I've been wrestling with was either God didn't care about me and Becky, or he was unable to care. Either one is devastating to your theology. But I came to see that neither of those were right, that it wasn't that he was unable to care or that he didn't care, but I came to see that he had a higher purpose and I didn't understand the purpose. And even though I still don't fully understand the purpose, yet I believe that. And so it wasn't just a happenstance. It was God keeping Becky on the operating table and taking her leg for a higher purpose that I don't see altogether yet. You either say, God, I'm going to let you be God, and I'm going to be your servant, I'm going to follow you, whatever. You're going to do what Job says, even though he slays me, yet I'll trust him. It's that direction, or it's despair. There is no middle ground. And what really is involved is for you to confront that and to make a choice. But you don't know my problem. I don't care what your problems are. I've gone through some heavy-duty ones, and it's that choice. You know, all of your human puny solutions are not going to solve some of these things that you're wrestling with. It's either despair or it's God. There's nothing in between. Now, which will it be?
That is one penetrating question on this Family Talk broadcast today with our guest speaker, Dr. Jim Conway.
Dad, I know you've heard this message a number of times, and I'm curious what thoughts are going through your mind as you hear him expressing so much emotion.
Mm-hmm. You know, you can hear in his voice the tears, the cry, the heart's cry of this man. And the way he was expressing that, I know will echo the thoughts and feelings of many people in our audience. It really does come down to that choice. Mm. It's despair or it's God. Mm. You have to choose. And eventually we all get to that point. It may be when you're 70 years of age, or it may be when you're 13. But eventually you will hit the wall where you have to say, does my faith hold me? Am I going to believe in this God, or am I going to get mad at him and say, I can't trust you because you're untrustworthy? Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you, when you get to that point, there's nothing else. Yeah. There's nobody else. There's no other answer. It really comes down to the fact that he is Lord of the universe. He loves me. He cares for me. And he doesn't make mistakes. And I'm going to believe in him even when I can't make sense out of it all. This question and these thoughts are what led me to write the book, When God Doesn't Make Sense.
That's right.
Because I've just dealt with too many people who have been there. Mm-hmm. And being in a hospital setting and a medical school, I'm telling you, I've heard those questions spoken from people in agony. Mm-hmm. And that's why there was a little bit of anger in Dr. Conway's voice there when he's saying, your puny answers don't work. Don't go give them to me.
That's right.
You know, my 3-year-old daughter died because God wanted her in his garden. Mm-hmm. Those are puny answers. And neither does it work to say to somebody like that, this is sin in your life. You've caused it. Maybe sometimes so, but that's not my job to say that.
That's right.
And usually it's wrong. Man, I'm preaching the sermon
right.
myself, but this is why I wrote the book and why it has been helpful all these years. More than a million copies have sold, and it's still available out there.
Well, Doctor, I know I have greatly appreciated When God Doesn't Make Sense. My own son in college is reading it right now.
You know how I would change it if I had it to do over again? The title would be When God Doesn't Make Sense, and in parentheses, the words, "To us." God makes sense even when he doesn't make sense. But there are times when he doesn't make sense to us.
And, Doctor, we're talking to someone right now who desperately wants to understand this concept, and they're beginning to make that turn, but this is a huge issue to them. I would just encourage that person to get a copy of your book, When God Doesn't Make Sense, because it goes into this concept so much deeper. They can absorb it. Again, the title, When God Doesn't Make Sense, and of course, we have copies available here.
We do, and you can request that at our website, which is myfamilytalk.com. You can also call us at 877-732-6825. You know, Dad, I was thinking we're kind of going through a time here at Family Talk where we're asking ourselves, where is God and what is he doing? A week ago, you addressed our staff to talk about that.
Well, we have told our listeners that this is kind of a difficult time financially for us. And I did bring the staff together and we talked about it. We've been praying about it. And in some ways, it is a When God Doesn't Make Sense moment, because before we started Family Talk, Shirley and I prayed intensely for it and about it. And we said, Lord, this is not a journey we particularly want to take. If we're hearing you correctly and this is what you want us to do, then would you make that very evident and stop us if we're on the wrong road? And we said that over and over again, and every flag was green. I mean, it's just unbelievable. This building and this studio and the staff, you guys coming on board, and other very talented people here. And we had a little bit of money, not much, but enough to start. And yet we have struggled financially for a year. And there are moments like that when you say, Lord, why is this so difficult? But also there has been evidence all the way along that this is what he wants of us and that he is blessing what we're doing in the studio and people are responding to it. So it's just one of those moments like you have when I wish it were easier. And I wish that the sky would kind of open and the Lord would utter these truths for you. But you take it one day at a time. And that's what we're doing with regard to the finances of Family Talk. Now, Ryan, you said in that passionate statement that you made just a few days ago that we might not be able to keep this ministry going. That would really raise questions in my mind. But I don't believe it's going to happen because there's been so much other evidence of God's involvement. And so we're going to take it one day at a time.
And I think our friends out there are going to help support us. In fact, one of the friends of Family Talk has generously offered to match every donation, dollar for dollar, up to $500,000, which means any amount people give, they're doubling the support of Family Talk, and we appreciate that so much. And people can help us out by going online at myfamilytalk.com and clicking the donate button, and by calling us at 877-732-6825.
You know, Ryan, in a way, the sky did open. And this is the Lord's voice saying, I'm providing for you. A generous donor has brought $500,000 and said, I'll match any gift given to Family Talk between now and April 30. That was the voice of the Lord.
That's right.
It wasn't audible, but I got the message.
Well, and we're hearing back as well. We need to hear more from our supporters. But a lady wrote to us and said she had heard the program and it touched her heart, and she was going to write a check to us. And I just get overwhelmed by that, that someone would hear the broadcast and hear us and would want to support us, and we appreciate it.
She sent $10,000.
Yeah.
And with the match, it's 20,000.
Mm. What a blessing.
And we heard the voice of the Lord again. I do hope people will get a copy of the book.
I do too.
I was in Scotland in a hotel when I wrote that book. I was walking back and forth in the room there, and I was praying, and I said, Lord, this is too difficult. I mean, this is heavy stuff, and I could disillusion people. If I don't get it right, will you help me? And he did help me, and that book is the response.
Again, When God Doesn't Make Sense, online, myfamilytalk.com, or that phone number one last time, 877-732-6825. And any of you who are able to contribute to the work of this ministry, again, right now, your gift will be matched. We would greatly appreciate it. God bless you, and we will see you tomorrow.